we welcome you right back into the game here in Tuscaloosa. Tide at 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. We are the flagship home. You can listen to us, Tide109.com. We do it every afternoon starting at 2 o'clock. Alabama's working their way to practice field. I'm sure there's a lot of players back in that facility getting ready for Oklahoma. We're going to talk about all of the above. Chris Lowe, I hope you've had a busy couple of days. I know you have because I've been following your Twitter account. You're putting out a lot of different fires, and we hope that you can help us at least somewhat put out some fires in Tuscaloosa. I hope all is well, Chris.
Yeah, Ryan, it's good to be with you as always.
Yeah, absolutely.
Putting out fires this time of year, is, I think that's a nationwide thing with schools and coaches coming and going. That's the business.
Well, it just seems like you've been in the business a lot longer. I mean, you and I, we go back to your days at the Tennessee, and I remember featuring you, and as I was a up-and-coming guy here in Tuscaloosa, and you gave me time and worked your way to ESPN, worked a double-digit years there. Then you've made now the transition on three. But can you ever remember, I mean, not with what's happening in Tuscaloosa, but just overall in college football, this chaotic?
No. Nothing close. I mean, when you go back to what happened last night, which is, you know, with more you hear about that situation, I know some people have made light of it. I don't know why. But if all the reports are true, it's sad. You know, you feel for the families involved and all the different sides, you know, and then the way it all happened with Sherrone Moore being out of Michigan. I just, as many coaches who were fired and then hired in procession. There was one day there, I think it was at the Iron Bowl or the day before, where there were like four coaches hired, Gullish at Auburn, Silverfield, Arkansas, in a matter of like an hour. And then, of course, the Lane Kiffin saga, which who knows how that ends up. I don't think we've sort of written the final chapter of that. And now, you know, got Michigan looking for a coach, you know, the Boer's name has come up. It came up, obviously, a week and a half ago. For Penn State, hired Matt Campbell. But yeah, it's been chaotic. Probably the best word I could use, Ryan, is just been chaotic.
All right, let's go how this ties back to Tuscaloosa. Obviously, Michigan's looking for a head coach, and I was live on the air. I need to move my show to the morning. I want to become a morning guy because you don't have to cover all these crazy things that happen in the afternoon. But we started getting messages, and it seemed like a lot of the national reporters agree that Michigan would love to be able to talk with Kalen DeBoer. It seems like, I mean, I think at this point, it's pretty obvious that it seems like he's their number one. He is their number one option. Is that fair?
Yeah, and that's where I would start with all this, that Michigan is absolutely interested in Kalen DeBoer. And I don't think that's really a secret anywhere on his side or Michigan's side. The other thing to remember, too, is remember this just happened yesterday. And ADs always typically have a drawer of their, you know, the old cliche, they got their wish list in their drawer, their front drawer. And I don't think that they necessarily were ready for more to be out. But I think as they pivot now to figuring out who their next head coach is going to be, that Kalen's right there at the top. And I don't think that's to his representation, probably to Greg Byrne or even him, that's a huge surprise. But the fact that he's their number one guy or the guy that they would love to talk to first or bring in doesn't necessarily mean that feeling is reciprocated. And I think in my conversations and with people close to him and him a few weeks ago, none of this with Michigan was out there then, is that he never had any desire to go to Penn State. Now, I think the third thing I would say is, are Penn State and Michigan exactly equal? I mean, I don't really think so. I think Penn State's a really good football job. I think Michigan's up there, right there near the top. Now, it's right now with AD, what's going to happen to him and all the controversies they've had. I mean, I don't know how attractive it is now as it would have been a year ago, but it still is a brand. Michigan is a brand and a football program with resources out the wazoo and tradition that a lot of people would be interested in that job. And I do think it's a tier above Penn State for whatever that's worth, Ryan.
When you look at this job, okay, because go back to the University of Michigan becoming available when Kalen DeBoer was out there, right? I mean, you go back to understand, and you probably know this story better than I do, when Coach Saban retired, because you broke the dadgum story. I mean, Chris, I mean, I'll forever be haunted, because people asked me, said, where were you at when you read the Chris Lowe story? I said, oh, I can tell you. I was talking to John McClain, 403, when Chris Lowe put it out that Nick Saban was yeah, he was done. He was done. He was retiring. But Michigan was an opportunity as well. Is that fair to say that maybe Kalen DeBoer, or do they have an interest then? Maybe that'd be a better way to ask that question.
Well, the timing was lost. Remember, Harbaugh, I think, was announced with the Chargers about 12 days later, but it had been hovering out there for a while that he was likely leaving to go to the NFL. I don't think there was anybody surprised at Michigan or anywhere else. So they were getting their ducks in order. And I think at that point, Kalen was right there pretty close to the top of their list to replace Harbaugh if he did indeed leave, which he did. But Nick retired on the 10th, and I think Greg Byrne hired Kalen on the 12th. So they sort of beat Michigan to the punch before Harbaugh was out. But no, to answer your question, I absolutely think had the timing been a little bit different, that Kalen would have been right there at the top of Michigan's list. Listen, and coaches, you look at guys like Lane Kiffin. Lane was the hot commodity this year. Florida wanted him. LSU wanted him. Ole Miss was going to spend a ton of money to keep him. He goes to LSU. And when you see guys' names like that bandied about, usually it's, hey, they've done a good job, or they're widely respected in the industry. And so here's two big-time schools, Penn State and Michigan, that clearly are and were interested in Kalen DeBoer. And I understand some of the frustration, the way the last year ended, the way this year started for Alabama. But clearly, when you sit down and talk to football people around the country, ADs, administrators, other coaches, industry insiders, Kalen DeBoer is on a list among some of the top football coaches in college, in the realm of college football. And when you're on that list and big jobs come open, your name's going to come up. And I think that's sort of what's happened these last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you saw Penn State. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that Penn State had an interest in Kalen DeBoer, but it as you've talked about and I've talked about, I don't think there was interest mutually. I don't think Kalen DeBoer had an interest there. Chris, but looking at from this vantage standpoint, looking at the University of Michigan, it looks chaotic other than just the head coaching side of things. Now, this is 50,000 feet up in the air. Am I reading that wrong?
No, there's a lot of unknowns. A lot of unknowns. If let's say Ward Manuel is the guy that's doing the hiring, is he going to be the guy that's there? Will he be allowed to make the hire? Is it somebody else? Who's your boss going to be? You've got controversy stacked on controversy in Michigan over the last few years. From where we sit, it does look to be maybe not the most stable of places right now. And I'll say this for Alabama. Alabama has really good alignment right now, from the president to the board to Greg Byrne on down. And I think that's one of the most attractive things about being in Alabama, is you've got that. And yes, there's always going to be scrutiny if you're the head coach at Alabama. We know that. And when you come in behind a guy like Nick, who's won umpteen national championships, didn't go. I mean, everybody talks about his accomplishments. I still scratch my head when I think about it. The guy won 100 straight games and didn't lose to an unranked opponent. 100 straight games. I mean, I don't know that we'll ever see that kind of consistency again in college football, especially in this age with the portal and NIL. So when you come in behind a guy like that, there's in a fan base, and I'm not just going to pick on Alabama, but any fan base, when you've tasted it at that level, you get intoxicated almost, that it's always going to be that way. And if it's not, well, then there's something wrong with the coach. And I think I was somewhere in the middle, the way Alabama finished the season last year and then started this season. I'm like, whoa, this is not to the standard. But then the team responded and regrouped and played a lot better football during the middle of the season against a really hard schedule, and then maybe hasn't played as well the last part of the season. And so I think when you're used to winning as much as Alabama won under Nick, and all of a sudden it's not perfect, even though they did get into the playoffs this year, there's frustration. There's restlessness. And that's always going to be the case. I've had enough conversations, though, with Caleb to know this. He knew what he was signing up for. He knew. He understood. And yet he still ran to this challenge, which a lot of people didn't want to be part of. He ran to this challenge, which I think says a lot about him as a competitor, as a person. And I don't think he's the kind of competitor, and I don't want to speak for him and put words in his mouth, but just based on conversations we've had, he's going to want to run away after 2 years, even though it hasn't been perfect. And I don't think anybody thought it would be, but I just don't think that's who he is. But you know what? And I want to end with this. Well, not end, but it's college football, Ryan, and you never say never. You never say never. We've seen things transpire where you thought there was no way. I mean, I never thought I'd see John Cohen hire Hugh Freeze. I don't know that, given how crazy it was at LSU, that they got the governor involved and they fired Scott Woodward and all hell's breaking loose in Baton Rouge. And then a few weeks later, Lane Kiffin leaves the playoff team to go coach LSU. So I'm not surprised by anything anymore. I'm really not. I'm just not. And here we are with Caleb's name attached to another job. His team's getting ready to play in the playoffs. They start practice tomorrow. The timing period just makes it almost, I won't say impossible, makes it very, very difficult to think with the Tide playing their playoff game next Friday, Michigan's in the market for head coach. And if Alabama wins that football game, they're not playing again until, what would that game be, New Year's Day?
Yeah, New Year's Day, Rose Bowl, yeah.
With the portal opening on the 2nd, you know, it'd be really, really hard to work through all that. So as I sit back and look at all these things, and I'm not talking for Caleb or Greg Byrne or anybody, Ward Manuel at Michigan, I just have a hard time believing right now that he's going to be the next head coach of Michigan.
Chris Lowe here visiting with us from On3. Chris, let me ask you about Alabama and Oklahoma. Obviously, it's hard to beat a team twice. We saw that in Atlanta, and Alabama's been a little bit banged up. Hopefully, they can try to get some guys healthy. It seems like they're making some progress. We're going to be talking about that all afternoon as we try to shift to the Oklahoma. It'll be almost impossible, but I'd love to box you into the Oklahoma game. I probably won't be able to box the audience in today talking about Oklahoma, but I'd love to get your thoughts on the Alabama-Oklahoma game 1 week from tomorrow.
Yeah, the first thing is Bama just, you'd think there's no way they play as sloppy and make as many mistakes as they did the first time against Oklahoma. They won that game on the stat sheet, but just did some things, you know, misuse, shooting yourself in the foot, you know, self-inflicted stuff, that when you play a team like Oklahoma, even though you sort of dominate the stat sheet, you're still not going to win. So that'd be the first thing is can they play a much cleaner game? And I would suspect that they would. You know, that they're not going to be as not going to hurt themselves as much as they did that first game. I think the second thing is Brent Venables is as good as it gets at designing a plan and a scheme to attack an offense, and he's really been good at that going all the way back to when he was Dabo's GC at Clemson. How good, how equipped is Alabama at switching it up, changing some things, being ready for some of the things he's going to throw at them? And be able to move the football and not have it all on Ty Simpson's shoulders. That would be the other thing is they've got to find a way, I think, having Jan Miller back, which I think they will, to be able to run the football enough and do some things to where you're not asking Ty to do too much. And we've seen his numbers drop off. I don't think he's healthy. When I say healthy, I don't think he's 100%. I think we all would agree on that.
But is anybody this time 13? Of year? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think I jumped ahead. This time of year, yeah, you're rarely a quarter. He's gotten to hit a lot this year, and he's made a lot of off-script plays, which have helped Bama win some games. And I think there's sometimes, you know, Ryan Grubb would like to see him stand in there and get the football a second later or whatever to a receiver, which they've got a great cast of receivers. But he's taken a lot of hits, and he's a tough kid, man. And I think, you know, you can see now that when he throws a ball and having to torque and stuff like that, he's in some pain. And having this time off, I think, helps a lot, right? They played, you know, they played in the SEC title game, so you got more than a week off to get ready, really almost 2 weeks to get ready for this playoff game. I think that's helpful. But they're going to need some other guys making plays after the catch and not just running the ball, you know, but some plays after the catch where you're not asking him to throw it 40-plus times a game and win the game for you. You got to protect better. I think that's the other thing. He's been on the run a lot of times this year. I think where Alabama, as they go into this game, should be equipped is they're really battle-tested. They played a tough schedule. You play Georgia twice. You play, what, four straight ranked teams in the middle of the season. You beat them all. You go on the road. I know Auburn's not a great football team, but you go on the road. You figure out a way to win that game in a close game yet again on the Plains. They've been in a lot of tough situations, and they've had a tough schedule. And they've come back from what was really a pretty embarrassing loss to open the season and responded. So I don't think this is a game they go into and they're not equipped emotionally and mentally to play.
Chris, is it fair to say when you look at what Kalen DeBoer's been able to do, obviously when you look at it from a Michigan standpoint, it's been enough that it's grabbed their attention. Because I think Alabama fans are thinking, man, this is the most talented Alabama team. There's a lot of weaknesses on this team. For him to coach them, yeah, you had the hiccup against Florida State. You had the hiccup against Oklahoma with the turnovers. The Georgia game was not pretty. But that he's been able to navigate this team to the college football playoffs, I mean, it kind of says a lot about his coaching ability.
Yeah, I think the best thing Kalen and his staff have done this year is get this team to respond better after that first game. They've tweaked some things in the way they've gone about. I think his words to me were a harder edge. And I know everybody's going to say, "Well, you're saying he was soft." No, I mean, no one who's ever coached with or against Kalen has ever mentioned that he's soft. You know, he's not in your grill screaming cursing, but you know, there's different ways to go about it. But I do think the way the team has responded, the way they've been able to sort of pick themselves back off the ground, go about their business, and be focused. I was at that Georgia game in Athens, and boy, that was a focused, dialed-in football team. And even when they didn't play well, and I know with the OU game was standing, but they go on the road, which is the fifth game of five straight conference games at South Carolina, didn't play their A game, may have played a C-plus game, but still figure out a way to win. So I think that's, to me, he's been able to get his team back. And if they didn't let that one loss to open the season, ruin their season. And I think for the most part, they played pretty good football. I don't think, Ryan, they played their best football the last few weeks. You know, if you're wanting to look for, you know, something of concern as you're looking through Alabama lens, that might be it. I'm not saying they played poorly, but I don't think they played their best football. And I think sometimes having almost 2 weeks off, getting some guys healthy, resetting, this is when, much like basketball, football is coming a lot closer to the basketball postseason now, is you got more teams in, you got a mulligan or two during the season. All that matters now is playing your best, being healthy, maybe having some young guys that have developed and gotten better that you can count on them now that maybe you would not have been able to count on in September. To me, that's what it's all about. And then your coaching staff pressing the right buttons.
Chris Lowe on three. ChrisBamaOnline.com is the local website covering the University of Alabama. You've already got a conversation there with Charlie Potter, but he's on three, senior college football reporter on three, the national publication. Chris, we probably won't talk before Christmas. Big Merry Christmas to you. Always thank you for the appearances throughout 2025. We probably average once a month. If the news demands more, we always reach out to you. Appreciate you being flexible this afternoon. Thank you again for the time.
Okay, Ryan. You guys have a great day.
Thank you. Chris.